feel for my Lord. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I promised him that I would serve him till I die. And I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Well, I promised him that I'll serve him till I die. And I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, I'm on the battlefield. Oh, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Well, I promised him that I'll serve him till I die. And I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Well, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Well, I promised him that I'll serve him till I die. And I'm on the battlefield for my, one more time. Well, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I promised him that I, yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord.
Hallelujah. Have you reported for duty tonight? You're on the battlefield for the Lord. Isn't it good to be in church tonight? We had a wonderful time here Wednesday night. How many of you enjoy the word of the Lord? Amen. God is just so mindful of us. Tonight is a different night altogether, but we're going to have some church here tonight. I believe that with all of my heart. Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church tonight. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. God bless you. For my Lord. Well, I promised him that I'll serve him till I die. And I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Well, I promised him that I'll serve him till I die. And I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I was alone and idle. I was a sinner too. I heard a voice from heaven saying there is work to do. I took the master's hand and I joined that Christian band. And I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Well, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Yes, I promised him that I'll serve him till I die. And I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now let's give him a big hand clap of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Well, it's just so good to be in the house of God tonight. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer request tonight. First of all, let me make this announcement. There will not be any service here this coming Wednesday night. The meeting, our July 4th meeting, starts on Friday night. So to give you a little break and get you ready for the weekend, there won't be any service here this coming Wednesday night. So remember that. Sisters, the picnic is July the 5th. We should do as we did last time, bring a side and a dessert or two sides.
We will begin the line at 11:30, so please be there on time. Volunteers are needed by 9:30 or 10 o'clock. Thank you so much. So remember that. That's next Saturday, the picnic, and I know you're looking forward to that. So we're just, we got a lot going on. We're looking forward to being part of it, aren't we? Amen. Brother Samuel Schuffer says he's still seeking the will of the Lord. He's not feeling good. He said, I'd like to tell this congregation, don't give up. Praise the Lord. That's a good comment to make to somebody. Don't give up. Praise the Lord. It's good to be a Christian and to be on the battlefield tonight. Brother Bobby Hayden sends this in to please pray for Kevin and Brianna White. They are our neighbors. Around 4:15 this morning, one of their babies died. She was a twin, a little girl, 3 months old. They're heartbroken and desperately need prayers from this assembly. So let's remember those folks tonight as we pray that God would just comfort their hearts and be with them during this time. He's able to fix a broken heart, isn't he? Amen. Brother Pinky sends this in to please remember my daughter, Sean. She has a very special need. I know God can make the difference, so we'll commit that to the Lord tonight. Brother Terry says to please remember Sister Alice in prayer, not feeling well, so let's remember her tonight. As we pray, we want to pray for Sister Linda Lawrence's mother. She fell and broke her pelvis. Her name is Pauline Baldwin, so they're asking that we would remember her in prayer tonight. Sister King is leading the prayers of the saints. She has a lot of pain in her side and legs. Please pray that she can come back to church soon. So let's remember that need tonight as we pray. Brother Joel Moyer asked for prayer for his children to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Also pray for the youth camp that's going on over in Indiana. So let's remember those needs tonight as we pray that God would just be mindful of that situation. You have a special prayer request tonight you'd like for this assembly to pray about? You believe we're serving a God that can answer prayer? Let's stand tonight, if you will. Brother Terry, why don't you come? Take us to the Lord. Let's invite His presence into this service and ask Him to have His divine will in these requests tonight. God bless you, buddy.
Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad we get to go to church tonight? You know, that's more than just a little phrase. That's a reality. I am so thankful we get to go to church one more time. Lord Jesus, as we come before Thee, we want to invite Your presence, first of all. Lord, what would a meeting be? Would You not be here? Just be a gathering of people like a club somewhere, an Elks Club, a lodge or something. But Lord, we're inviting the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to be among us. We ask that Your Spirit would be present. Lord, if we could divorce things from what we've done today, yesterday, last week, what we may encounter, plans for next week. But truly, Lord, if we could just focus on this night, Lord, and what worship that we would like to give up to You, raise up to You, offer up to You, the coming forth of the Word, what it might help us in our daily walk. Give us faith muscles to be able to hold that big two-edged sword. Give us, Lord, strong faith muscles to be able to wield that sword as it was. For we know the enemy's coming in like a flood, but we know You always raise up a standard. As we pray for these requests, Lord, I think about the little twin that passed. Oh, Jesus, you know how that family, I'm sure, is so tore up and broken. But Lord, we know, as the prophet told us in marriage and divorce, He said all babies go to heaven. Regardless of what parents they're born under, all babies go to heaven. So we know there's at least one of them, of those two, certainly will make it. But dear God, we know, but in this natural, they're certainly going to miss them. But I pray, Lord, that You'll just comfort their hearts, be with them. You promise to be an ever-present help in a time of trouble. I pray for Sister King. She desires to be back in the house of God. Everyone that raised their hands, they have an unspoken request. Perhaps a loved one, someone in their family sick, needy, somebody that's maybe closest to death. I pray, Lord, for them, and may their hearts be touched. We realize that we're so living in the very closing hours of time. And, Lord, this is just not a time just to be lukewarm, lackadaisical, spirit of lethargy, but truly, as You said in Revelation, You would that we would be hot, not cold, but hot. Hot or cold, not lukewarm, but Lord, we want to be on fire. We truly want to be hot. We ask, Lord, that You would just help us to rekindle that fire. Lord, refill us with the Holy Ghost day by day. May our fervency and our love be to fall in love more with the Lord Jesus. Truly, if we can love Him, it'll certainly be easier to serve Him. Grant these things, Lord. Bless the service. Anoint Brother Donnie to speak. Give us spiritual food in due season. And may we have a wonderful time of fellowship around the Word tonight. We're happy to be here. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting tonight with us in this service, we certainly want to take this opportunity to welcome you. Glad to have you. All those that are streaming the service tonight, I pray it'll be a great blessing to those folks as well. I want to welcome tonight Brother Randy and Karen Ogden from Missouri. Where would you folks be? Would you just raise your hand? Give these folks a nice hand tonight. God bless you. Glad to have you in the service. And we have a brother here, Brother David Telez. I'll get that name close maybe. From Jacksonville, Florida, going to be singing for us tonight. We're glad to have him. Where would you be? Just raise your hand. Where are you at? Right back here somewhere. Give him a nice hand tonight. God bless him. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, it's just good to be a Christian, isn't it? Do you love the Lord with all your heart? Somebody say praise the Lord. Well, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Well, I promised Him that I would serve Him till I die. And I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I left my friends and kindred bound for the promised land. The grace of God upon me, the Bible in my hand. And distant lands I trod, cried, sinner, come to God. And I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I promised Him that I'd serve Him till I die. And I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Now I was alone and idle, I was a sinner too. I heard a voice from heaven saying there is work to do. I took my master's hand and I joined that Christian band. Now I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Well, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I promised Him that I'll serve Him till I die. But I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Hallelujah. And some glad morning when this life is over, I'm gonna fly away. I'm
Say praise the Lord. Give him one more hand clap of praise tonight. Glory. Hallelujah. And it's because he lives. Sing with all your heart. Oh, it's a truth. And because he lives. All my fear is gone because, yes, I know he holds my future, and life is worth the living just because. She glad he's alive tonight, church. Oh, it's because Jesus lives. I can face tomorrow. And because he lives, all my fear, it's somebody say he's alive. Somebody say he's alive. Praise the Lord. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated tonight. Sister Sarah, if you'd come tonight, get ready to sing for us. Brother David from Florida. Brother, if you'd come onto the platform, be getting ready to sing when she sings tonight. Give her singers a nice hand as they sing for us.
Must have felt strange to end up stranded between an army and a sea. They must have felt forsaken, wondering why God wasn't all he said he'd be. When your back's against a wall, it's the hardest place of all. But somewhere between provision and impossibility, God will make a way when there seems to be no way. Forever he is faithful. Struggle till your strength, it's almost gone.
when God will hold you in the shelter of His heart. He'll carve a road for you to carry on. So carry on. Travel on. God will make a way when there seems to be no
the Lord.
God bless you. My name is David. I'm from Jacksonville, Florida, like the brother mentioned. I've been here many years ago, about 7 years ago, and I enjoyed my first experience coming here to Happy Valley. I had a very awesome time, met many great brothers and sisters, and I'm glad to be here once more with you, with the rest of my family in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And it was a long ride, you know, but I don't even know what to say to describe how happy I am to be with you one more time. But I'm a little nervous right now, so if you all bear with me, the church where I'm from is very small, and I haven't been this big of a crowd in a while. Amen.
With me at the door. from beginning to the end. I can trust you in your never failing love. You work everything for good. God, whatever comes my way, I can trust you. All I need, held in your hands. All my life, all of me, held in your hands. All my fears, all my dreams, held in your hands. All my hopes, I will trust you. God, whatever comes my way, I can trust you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's stand tonight, if you will. Certainly appreciate our specials. God bless our singers tonight. As we get ready to go on into the service, are you looking forward to the preaching of the word of the Lord? Amen. Somebody say, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Amen. I'm going to pray for Brother Donnie. I'm going to receive something from this service tonight. Amen. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise tonight. Sweeter as the days go by. Well, it gets sweeter as the days go by. Yes, it gets sweeter as the moments fly. Well, His love is richer, deeper, fuller, sweeter, oh, sweeter, sweeter, sweeter as the days go by. Well, it gets sweeter as the days go by. Yes, it gets sweeter as the moments fly. His love is richer.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Didn't we have church here Wednesday night?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, I figure since we all got ready, y'all shaved, your brothers, I mean, everybody combs your hair, hopefully you cleaned up, and we're here, I'd say we have church again tonight. Now, we may go a different direction, but really the direction don't matter if you want to have church. Whatever direction the Lord wants to go is the direction that we want to go. Let's turn tonight, if you would, to the book of Exodus, chapter 10. I'd like to read chapter 10, begin with verse 20 down through verses 23. I want to speak to you tonight on gross darkness. I believe we're there, don't you?
Amen.
Exodus chapter 10, verse 20. Remember, this is the first Exodus And we know that in all three Exoduses, the one in Egypt, the one with Jesus, and the one with us, there are great parallels that run together. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. Wow. So if the Lord was to harden a person's heart, and even they didn't want to hardly do it that way, reckon their power would be greater than the power of God's? I wonder if God won't harden people's hearts that sit in this church or sit around the message and make them so hard and they'll become so full of hate. No matter how much you pray for them or what you try to do, you don't give them so much love and all that that you want to give them. If their heart's hardened by God, pretty much it's going to be going that way, isn't it? I pray to God, it's not me. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness. Now notice that darkness can come in degrees, and the variable of degrees will change at God's command. And there was a thick darkness. So it's not a normal darkness. It is a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. And they saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. You're talking about a time of paradox and contrast. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Amen. Let's pray together. How many like to be remembered in prayer tonight before the Lord? Heavenly Father, we so love you tonight, dear Jesus. We thank you, dear God, for the opportunity that we can come together again, our souls to be fed on your manna. How we're grateful to you, Lord Jesus, and your presence being among us here Wednesday night, the wonderful things that you've given us, Lord. I've still just been rejoicing from that service. But here we are, Lord, with another need, another particular thing that we want to look at. I pray that you would help us, Father. May the Spirit of God take us and anoint us, open our hearts that we might be illuminated by the light of God for this day. Grant it, dear Father, in Jesus Christ's name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. God's ways are always, of course, so different from ours in the way that he does things. God has certain forms, not traditions necessarily, but forms by which he does things and the way that he reveals certain things. And we can learn by the images which have been, if we look back and it is a true image of God, something that God did, then we can look and see something that God is doing that has a similarity. It gives us a pretty good idea of what's going to happen in the future. Here is this type of an instance with the children of Israel coming out of the land of Egypt, out of bondage. Prophetically, God had foretold that it was going to come to pass, and they'd waited and waited, and now the time had arrived. It was actually the time of the promise for it to be fulfilled. Nothing they could do that would ever try to rush it up. If they would have tried 100 years prior to this, 50 years prior to this, to raise up a man to lead them out, it would have fell completely through. But the time of the promise had arrived. And when the time of the promise had arrived, I believe that there was something among the people, that an urgency. Can you imagine the urgency? If it would have preceded this beforehand, it would have drove them nuts with the urgency that they felt 6 months or a year or whatever it was before the Exodus came. For them to have that urgency and that compulsion, that something driving them, it would have drove them nearly out of their mind. It's the same way with us, whether or not you understand it. We pray for the rapture. We call for the coming of the Lord. But But you realize that desperation, that urgency will fall on us at exactly the preceding time whenever we need it. And if it fell 20, 25 years ago, we wouldn't work. We wouldn't go about our jobs. We wouldn't do nothing. We'd be so homesick. We would be so miserable. So the Lord knows how to let us feel it, and then it backs off. Then we feel it and it backs off. But when we need to feel it right and hard enough, brother, it'll drop and it'll fall and it won't back off. It'll be right there until we're gone. Thank God for it. And no doubt there was something that was correlating in the time of God, the program of God. Because you know it's like a great timepiece, and God has this little cog that rubs with against that one and this one with that one. Every tooth on there is exactly time for exactly for the age that it's in. So you've got God with a timepiece with the prophet, the timepiece with the people, a timepiece with the Egyptians, a timepiece with Pharaoh, a time, all of it, each cog, each wheel is timed exactly right to make it work. It's the same way today. We've got Israel, we've got the nations of the world, we've got the bride, we've got the Gentile foolish virgin. Every bit of it is a cog that's on the great timepiece of God. It'll all fit together just exactly right. But now it's moved up to where in this cycle of time that the clock is fixing to tick exactly right. Now, whenever God is going to do this, it must be timed exactly to where it will be by His will. Man, most of the time, doesn't understand it without divine intervention. Then man will see it, he'll pray about it, he knows it must be time. There must be something that's going to move because we can feel it. We just know there's something around. But yet God will let it happen exactly right on time every time. And this is the way it was here. Now, God was fixing to move, but there was things that was forerunning, and God would actually send a warning, then a judgment, a warning, then a judgment, and God wanted to bring all that He prophesied on the curses of the gods of Egypt. So He's going to bring one thing and another and another and another. He's going to totally, absolutely bring every deity that they have and make every one of them bow right down before the living God. So God is going to send, He's going to send death, but remember, before death was going to come, there must be a preceding factor which will come before death. Now the last plague that's going to fight them before they're going to leave the land of Egypt is the firstborn is going to die. But before death comes, darkness precedes death. Now watch, darkness will precede death. So here it's going to be a natural darkness, but it parallels with a spiritual darkness. So as Pharaoh's heart is getting harder, it's actually going to permit the justice and the judgment of God to be able to bring a further, 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 more and more and more and more of the cup of God. You understand why America will not repent, while the nations of the world will not repent? The justice of God must be met, and the cup of iniquity has to reach a certain level before the justice of God can be poured out. So God will do exactly the same way as He did there in the land of Egypt. So God actually hardens Pharaoh's heart. Now watch this. Brother M said, I want you to notice the last plague was death. We've had earthquakes. We've had wars and rumors of wars. We've had tidal waves as Jesus said it would be. The sea roaring, men's hearts failing, more heart trouble, number one disease, fear, perplex of time, distress between the nations, horseless carriage in the broadways, all these things fulfilled, but the last plague is death. Not physically speaking, but spiritually speaking. Death spiritually in the church. You notice it amongst the sons. Now notice, where did death strike in the land of Egypt? The firstborn. It was not among everybody, but it was among the firstborn. Now here, Brother Man said, it strikes the sons, not the daughters, not the women. Now notice how that it comes. The firstborn, of course, since women do not carry the seed of life, they do not have the ability to propagate life. They are a field, and they receive the seed from the man. So why does Satan constantly trying to attack the firstborn sons? Whenever Moses comes on the scene and the Pharaoh comes, why does he come with an edict to try to destroy the firstborn sons? When Jesus comes on the earth, what does the command come? Destroy the firstborn sons. Notice what Satan wants to destroy. Does Satan actually want to destroy the denominations? By no means. Satan is not out to annihilate all the female churches. That is where Satan wants to propagate death. But what does Satan want to destroy? Sons. Sons of God.
Those sons of God, those eunuchs who take the word and pull away themselves and don't want to interject any word. Satan wants to destroy sons. Come on, children. Because sons carry the life. Oh, my. So what is God going to do? Now, God is going to bring the reversal through the ministry of Moses of the attack of the enemy that began at the birth of Moses. So the firstborn is now going to be taken out. Now, notice this. He said, you notice among the sons, spiritual death. And the church has got more members than it ever had. Now, this is 1953. Can you imagine how many more members that the churches have tonight than they did in 1953? He said there's more members than they ever had, thriving better than it ever did. But notice what happens now. They're thriving better, so they're bigger, got more money. But yet they're the weakest spirit that it ever was. That's true. Like it was in Egypt. Now watch, so then the second Exodus, what do we see? When Jesus was hanging on the cross, we see a darkness had come upon the earth, and it was what? The second Exodus, and before death struck Jesus Christ, then spiritual death was fixing to strike the Pharisees, Sadducees, but before that, what preceded that? Darkness. Now look around, the third Exodus, before spiritual death going into the tribulation period, what will strike is going to be a spiritual darkness. I'm Methodist, I'm this, that, and the other. Before death strikes the churches and consummates the tribulation, what there will be, there will be a breaking forth of such darkness. Oh God, hide me in the light. Hide me in the light. It must forerun death. And we're waiting for death. We're looking for this person. Oh my, Brother Donnie, this person cursed Brother Branham and called them all kinds of names. My Lord, I'm looking for them to die. Death is not what you look for first. You look for darkness. Darkness precedes the death. Most of us will never see the death who's going to follow. These folks that are blaspheming the prophet and the message will never see wrath strike them. For most of them will never see the judgment of God. But open up your eyes and see. How could a person even do that with that spiritual darkness already struck their soul? My, my. Notice Brother Ben again says, but remember the last plague that fell was death. The last thing, God has given us warning after warning, warning after warning, and the last thing that's come is death. Spiritual death. The churches are dying spiritually. That's right, friend. Now look, this again, if this was years and years ago, when Brother Ben was talking about then, how much more has it regressed spiritually now? But how do people measure their church? Oh, we got this many members, and we do this, and we build hospitals, and we do this. But do they cast out devils? Do they heal the sick? Do they raise the dead? Do they still live right? Do they preach a living Christ, or do they point to a historical Christ that was? Now let's bring it on down to the message. Come on now. How many of us preach a historical Christ that did all these things when Brother Branham was here, but ain't the same today? My Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The problem is not Jesus. The problem is not the power of God. The problem many times is us. Now watch, darkness precedes death. Listen to this one. Death was the last enemy that struck Egypt. And the last enemy that's going to strike the church now is death. Spiritually speaking, those who will not follow Christ in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and remember I read this to you Sunday, will spiritually dry up and die. He didn't say they'd get out of church. They'll just spiritually dry up and die. Folks, without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the token life of the Lord Jesus, that's the only thing the devil ain't afraid of. Listen to me now. The devil, you can shake your Bible in the devil's face. He will not move one bit. You take a picture of a prophet of God and shake in front of the devil, that don't scare the devil. You take a tape of Brother Branham, you take a CD of me or a CD of some of these other brothers, that won't scare the devil. But what backs the devil up? A life worthy of the gospel. A life that has the token, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Then that is the kind of life, my brother, that makes hell tremble. It ain't just words. No, sir. Notice then, those who will not follow Christ in the baptism of the Holy Spirit will spiritually dry up and die. The churches, you can see it now. After many, many great revivals and evangelists has passed through the land, and yet the church, now notice 1954, the church is politically speaking, is getting worse all the time. Its members are living any way they want to, doing anything they want to, yet calling themselves Christians and saying they're all right. My, that sounds like today, don't it? People living any way they want to, doing whatever they want to, and yet claim they are Christians and they're closer to God than they've ever been. What is it? Darkness. Darkness. I like the way he goes on with this. To be a Christian means to be Christ-like. Go no place you wouldn't want to be if Christ would come. Say nothing you wouldn't want to be saying when Christ comes. Do nothing you wouldn't want to be doing when Christ comes. Think nothing you wouldn't want to be thinking when Christ comes. Keep your one motive, your heart centered on Calvary. Oh, and the church said, that's exactly right. Notice this now. Remember, the last plague in Egypt was death before the Exodus. The last plague on earth is spiritual death before the Exodus. Now here we are, the third Exodus. So before the death will come, it will be preceded by darkness. And where will the darkness be? Is the sun going to go down and never raise up again? Are the stars going to fall out of the heavens and they'll never be? It will be a spiritual darkness that will be so gross that as great as the light of this day is, it will never permeate that darkness. It will never break through the darkness. The darkness will get thicker and thicker and deeper and deeper. This is the scary thing. And it will move closer and closer to the light. It will move closer and closer to where we are as sunset does and the sun is setting. What happens? And the darkness, it lingers in the shadows and in the trees. And as the sun goes down and that darkness comes and the shadows get longer and longer and the darkness gets closer and closer to the light until the sun is gone and then you get where you can't see where you're going. Oh my, thank God for the evening lights. Notice this in Exodus 14:19. And the angel of God which went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood, notice where he goes now, behind them. And he came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that one came not near the other all night long. Now notice what it does. The pillar of fire actually keeps these impersonators away from the real ones. So you're on one side of the pillar of fire and it's just a cloudy, smoky darkness and all you see is mistakes and human error. My, you just can't get past all that. But you're living on the other side and you're camping in the light. And it ain't like you're 5,000 miles apart. You're just a few feet apart. But you know what the difference is? You're on the right side of the pillar of fire. Oh, thank God I'm on the right side. Oh my, notice this, Isaiah 5:20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness. Now watch what man will do then. That man can actually get to a spot that man will call evil good and man will call good evil. And then man will call darkness light and he will call light darkness. Open your ears, children. Man will say good is evil, and he will say evil is good. He will call darkness and say, this is the light, this is the light. And he will call light what God calls. I said, that's of the devil. That's darkness. You get away from that. I'm free from all that. Oh, my. That put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Isaiah chapter 60, Brother David, I think, read this a couple of weeks ago. I was home streaming the service, Carol and I just found it so amazing. I told her, I said, I want you to look at this. So I got over on my computer where I was sitting there streaming the service, and I got over and opened up a file, and this is the file that I've been sitting on right here, and I told her, I said, look at this. Got this scripture right here. I love the mind of the Lord the way he does, don't you? Oh, my. Notice Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Arise, arise, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Now, Isaiah chapter 60 is actually a counterpart of a natural sunrise on the east. For those any of you that's ever been in Israel or in Egypt or any of those eastern countries, and you've been there, and I've been there myself, and experienced this, and know that the sunrise there is quite a bit different than what it is from here. Now, here Isaiah is picking this up and writing a spiritual counterpart of what he would have been standing there watching a sunrise, standing out of Jerusalem or wherever he was, because instead of the sun rising up over the mountains and things that we have, where we are placed geographically on the earth, being where they are near to the equator, when the sun actually comes up, it's not this slow, gradual rising that eventually 15 minutes, 30 minutes, and all that sort of thing, but it's like the sun just, boom, there he is. Now watch Isaiah as he says this, arise, arise, for thy light is come. Oh my. It's as if though when you see an eastern sunrise, it's not that you're saying he is coming, but he is here. Oh, glory. It's not that you're saying, well, it won't be long now. It won't be long now. But the presence of the sun just leaps upon the horizon. Oh, glory. It's like that. Watch this. So the church that refers to you cannot shine on our own. We have no light of our own. We say this little light of mine, but yet if it's not a God-given light, it's not really a light. So we have no light on our own. The only way that we can shine, we are the earth, is when the sun will pop up in our horizon and he'll break forth the emanating light of the rays of the gospel of Christ, and then he shines upon the earth. He shines upon us, and then he begins to bring life out of that which he's put inside of our soul. What's this in Psalms chapter 36 verse 9? For with thee is the fountain of light. In thy light we shall we see light. Now notice, in thy light shall we see light. In thy light shall we see light. In thy light, we shall see light. Don't you see? We have to be in fellowship with him to really see the light of the day. Now watch in verse 2. Isaiah says, for behold, the darkness, 1 degree of darkness, shall cover the earth, and gross, another degree of darkness. Darkness shall cover the earth, but gross darkness, which is cloud, heavy, dark cloud, thick, darkness. So the idea is that there would be ignorance and sin that would envelop the earth, but there would be gross darkness upon the people. It would be so dark and so thick. It would be so much enveloped in the earth that is bright. Friends, can you imagine if this light was in the days of Lucifer? If the light that we have in this day would have been the days of Wesley, we shouted our shoe heels off of a little bit of truth in Pentecost. Can you imagine if they'd been revealed back there? But why does it not do to us what little bit of truth they had to them? Turn them inside out. And we just sit around. What is it? The darkness. The darkness is so pressing your mind. It's so pressing your feelings. And you fight every service. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. You fight every day to live in Satan's Eden. You fight every day to pray, to read your Bible, to listen to a tape. Why is it? It's because the darkness is pressing its way against you. Lord Jesus, help us. Notice this in verse 3. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Now let's watch them. When the Lord Jesus actually comes to the earth, naturalists have taught this with a spiritual parallel of the resurrection of the sun. And St. John chapter 1 verse 4, speaking about the Lord Jesus, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now the word comprehended means to make your own, to lay hold of, to take a hold of as your possession. So the darkness would not take a hold of light and say, I want this. No, no, it will not do that. Because then what the light will do is express the works that is in the darkness. Men don't really love darkness per se because of the value of darkness itself. They love darkness because darkness hides their sins. Darkness hides their evils. Now this is where we are, that many people are regressing away from the evening light because this evening light exposes what's in their hearts and what's in their lives. Come on now, it exposes what's in their closet, what kind of clothes they got and whatever more. So they don't like that, so they love darkness instead of light, because you can do all kinds of things in the darkness and nobody know you. So here comes a God-given light, the morphe of God. Look what John says. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, St. John chapter 3, verse 19. This is the Lord Jesus speaking after he speaks these words of John 3:16 to Nicodemus. Notice how amazing. So many people quote John 3:16, but you don't hear John 3:19 quoted very much at all. This is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world. And men loved darkness. Look at what darkness is. Skotos. Darkened eyesight or blindness. Metaphorically, ignorance respecting divine things and human duties. Okay, so light will reveal divine things, and light will also reveal our human duty about the revelation of those divine things. So then people, ignorance is bliss. So people that really aren't born of light, they don't want to know more truth. No, don't tell me more. I'll be held accountable for more. Don't tell me more. But if a person is born of light, they want to know what's right. But because men love darkness rather than light, why do they do it? Because their deeds are evil. So then light, what does light do? Light is represented many times as inspiration, and all, it denotes instruction. It denotes doctrine. It notes illumination upon. Don't you see why we need a light? Well, Luther didn't bring a new Bible. Wesley didn't bring a new Bible. Pentecost didn't bring a new Bible. Brother Branham didn't bring a new Bible. But what it was the light of God on the portion of the Word for that day. I don't need a new version of the Bible. I'm still reading the King James, the same kind I read whenever I was a boy, and the same kind I preached from all of my life. I didn't need a new Bible. I needed light to illuminate what was there. To illuminate what? The doctrine. To illuminate divine things, and then illuminate my responsibility in order to react to those divine things. Praise the Lord. That's what light is. Oh, I see this. I see that. I see that. But if it does not illuminate what you're supposed to do with it, I question what you see. Praise the Lord. If it don't make you a better man, a better woman, a better housewife, a better preacher, what good does it do? Just give us a bunch of head knowledge. Now notice what John says. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, which is exactly the same way as today. This is what will condemn this nation and those who sat under the revealed word of this hour. This is the condemnation, that light is come. Not has, but is come. Into the world. And men love darkness rather than light. Now notice what it does. They choose the darkness. So darkness is the emblem of ignorance. Darkness then is the emblem of ignorance and iniquity and error and wrongdoing. And then if they come into light, it will show them you've got to quit this and you've got to do that and you've got to pay your tithes and you've got to go to church and on and on and on and on. So they love darkness better. Well, I'll just stay at home and I won't have to do all that. Don't tell me no more. Don't tell me. And I'll just stay at home. I won't be held accountable for it. But men love darkness because it hides their sins. Now watch this in St. John 3, verse 20. You realize man's love of darkness, he precedes and has a higher place in his heart than God, which is light, because man worships creatures instead of the Creator. Watch in John 3, 20. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Oh my. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Now we've got more evildoers in this earth as ever known before. Can you imagine the atmosphere they are creating about this ball of the earth that we call our home? 6 billion, over 6 billion people now on the face of the earth, and the majority of them in darkness. the majority of them in darkness for the hour that we live, and yet they live in this world, in this fear. Oh my, and you can you imagine then what little bit of light that there is, that little tiny sliver of spiritual illumination that there is on the earth. It seems like hardly nothing that's left upon the earth. And this is why we press and we press and we feel it all around us. You know what I'm talking about, church? You feel it around you every day. It gets in your family. Sometimes you feel that permeate in between you and your wife when you have no reason to be into it. You have no reason to say short words one to another. And then the next thing you know, you're in the middle of a big knockdown drag out nearly. And say, what in the world happened? That only started out because of a little burn spot on the side of my waffle. And now I got a waffle iron on the top of my head. Man, that should have ever led to that sort of thing. I guess you'll be more careful next time, big boy. It happens between brothers. It happens between sisters. It happens between family members. We're living in a time when family members can't get along no more. Come on now. What is it? The darkness is pressing. And these people that are out there, they love this type of thing. They live in that type of world. And it's pressing against the light. Notice Jesus said, he that doeth truth. Oh my goodness. Doeth truth. Oh, you mean hearing it ain't enough and believing it ain't enough? Now let's read this together, verse 20 and 21. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth, they didn't say right, in the opposite of what we would think would be wrong in verse 20. But he that doeth truth. Oh my. He that doeth truth. He that practices truth. Truth has to be lived. It's not just believed and accepted and acknowledged. But truth must be lived. Oh, praise be to God. I'm talking to you about bride material tonight. Truth must be lived. He that doeth truth, he lives in an honest life and projects the gospel. And doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds, now notice, why does he come to truth? So that his deeds might be made manifest. So he loves truth, and what he does, his love for the truth, he or she seeks more truth, and by seeking more truth, the closer they find to truth, the more the light will illuminate their shortcomings. Oh my. And instead of them getting mad and say, bless God, I ain't going back no more, they do truth. And because they do truth, then they're drawn to light, and light will illuminate their shortcomings. And there they sit and they hear their shortcomings illuminated, and it may take them a week or it may take them two, however long, but they will do that. They will live up to that. And the closer they get to the light, the more their shortcomings they see, and the more they lay aside, and they're getting closer and closer. And one day Jesus is going to say to them, you're closer to my house than you are to yours. What do you say? We go home this morning. Glory to God. But those who hate light, my, they love their evil deeds. They love their wicked ways. And so they hate light. Why do they hate light? Because it exposes.
He that doeth truth cometh to the light. So he loves the truth. So he seeks more truth. And when he seeks more truth, that his deeds, he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds might be made manifest. So what kind of people are these? So they already do truth. They already do truth. They're already practicing truth. And yet they come to truth and they accept truth and they're living truth. And yet instead of just sitting down and saying, well, praise God, I've got her, hallelujah, I'm ready to go. But instead they keep on advancing in the light of the day. And it reveals to them, instead of arriving, said, well, praise God, I quit smoking 40 years ago. Glory to God, I don't do this, I don't do that. Hallelujah. But instead of that, they keep coming to the light, and the light will say, you need to quit that. You need to let aside that attitude. You need to pray more. You need to get the, oh, yes, Lord, praise be to God. And then what do? They actually do it for that purpose. You're saying, wow, what strange people there are in this earth tonight that actually go to church hoping that if there's anything in their life, the Lord will reveal it. And other folks go to church hoping that nothing is not revealed.
Because they're having a hard time just keeping up with what little bit they do believe. I say, pour it on, Lord. If there's anything else I need, pour it on. Give me the power to live it, because I'm a truth doer. I ain't just a truth talker. I ain't just a truth speaker. I'm a truth doer. And my truth doing, I'm going to keep walking right onto that line. And the Lord's going to show me my shortcomings. I'm going to straighten them up. He's going to show me more. I'm going to straighten them up. And to finally, I'm going to go straight up. You cover up, you're going to be left here. I don't want to cover up. I want to leave this place. Wow, look at these people. Jesus said, everyone that, he that doeth truth, cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest. Really? Wonder how many Christians we could find like that. That they actually embrace lie, hoping that if there's anything wrong, God will show them. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. Argue with him if you want to. That his deeds may be made manifest, made clear, or made plain, if there's anything there. That they are wrought in God. Now you imagine a man that comes, a sincere man, and he desires self-manifestation. He desires self-cleansing and self-separation, and he wants ultimately to wind up in the latter part of this verse, that they are wrought in God. He wants the ultimate. This is the Lord Jesus, friend. This is the Lord Jesus speaking of true disciples, not just people that are saved. He ain't speaking of just church members. He knows about folks that are really going to go on with God. They desire self-manifestation. They desire self-examination. They desire self-discrepancy. They're not just looking around at everybody else. If they see something discrepancy in them, God, show it to me. God, help me that I can get it out. Instead of picking out my brother's faults and my sister's faults, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Lord, move back all of my works so I can see your works in me. Praise be to God. He loves light, he does truth, and he walks so the will of God can manifest in him. Notice this in Romans chapter 13, verse 12. Paul says, the night is far spent. If it was far spent 2,000 years ago, it must be just about gone. If it was 3 minutes till midnight years ago, where is it now? Seconds. The night is far spent. The day, glory. The day, the day, the day, the night. Where are we? Church ages. The night, our Laodicea night is almost gone. And the millennium day is almost at hand. Amen. The night is far spent. Oh my, the time is far spent. The night is far spent. The ages are far spent. The gospel is coming right down to the last ones. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. And let us put on the armor of light. What kind of armor would that be? The armor of light. Put on the, cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. So you mean light is my armor. Can you see, friends, why we must have the light of this day? Now, whenever the Lord Jesus came to the earth at the second Exodus, darkness had been held off. And I'm sure you've noticed it before, but there was such a parallel. It's like Satan knew that something was going on. As if though he had a premonition that God had come down and become a man. Because we see demonic display of Satan through demons living in people like it was never displayed before. And it's quite amazing because you look at the Old Testament, there was never such a display. And then it fades out after the days of the apostles. And you don't see near as many, but it's like when God was made manifest in a man, that Satan wanted to be made manifest in men. So if the Son of God was made manifest in a man, then the son of perdition desires what? Human expression. Now listen to me. So if the Word of God is being made flesh in a bride, Lord have mercy. Will not Satan counteract that? He's always an imposter. He's always an impersonator. Will not we see more demon possession and all this is going on in the age we live in? Do you think it just happens to be this way? These demons that have lived down through time, my, these maniacs and all this sort of thing, they could have done it hundreds of years ago, but it would not parallel with the light of that day. Because they were still in such darkness. But now the light has been so illuminated. Is it going to change the world? Absolutely not. Will the masses and the majority come to it? Absolutely not. Those who do truth. Those who do truth. That'll be the ones. Oh my. Now whenever the darkness now is going to press against the Lord Jesus, the darkness was held at bay by prophetic utterance of God. That darkness could not take him, even though the priests tried for years to try to destroy it. They tried to get to him. They tried everything in the world. They could not do it because the hour of darkness had not yet arrived. But prophetically, there was a timeline set by which God would now allow the hour of darkness to move up into its slot. It's another cog on the negative side. Remember, under the law of contrast, there is a positive and a negative. To start your vehicle coming to church tonight, you have a positive post and a negative post on your battery. Disconnect the negative. Oh, you say, I don't want the negative. Disconnect the negative post on your battery, and you're going to set there, and it ain't going to crank. So in the law of contrast, in time, there is day and there is night. There is health, there is sickness, there is peace, there is trouble. There is light, you understand, and darkness. In the law of contrast, where the Lord Jesus is, in order for darkness to be pulled into the snare, to be engulfed and annihilated spiritually on the crosses we'll be looking at Wednesday night, darkness must gather all around the day. Darkness cannot understand what day is doing because it would never go through with its plan. You think the devil would have ever killed the Lord Jesus if he'd known what he was going to do to me and you? You think that he would have ever known that by allowing Jesus to be beat on the back, that it would heal you and you got sick with cancer and TB and all these things? There ain't no way. He was actually cutting his own throat and didn't even realize it. He ain't no way in the world he'd have ever made one wound in the body of the Lord Jesus if he'd have known that blood was going to annihilate our nature and take us back into the image of God. He would have had band-aids all over the body of Jesus. But he did not know it. He was not aware of what God was doing.
Oh my. Notice this in Luke chapter 22, verse 52. They've come to get Jesus. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, be you come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I daily was with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me? Why? They're creatures of the night. They was afraid to attack him during the day. They're creatures of the night. Can't you see, message people, where we are? We are at the night time of this message. Can't you see why the severe attacks against the prophet, against the message, against preachers, against the bride as a whole? Can't you see why it must pick up? It is the shadow of where we are. We're in the garden, as it were, again, and they have been given this time to do this. Can't you see? It's going home time. Can't you see? This could not be 10 years ago. Isn't it amazing how Satan synchronized all this stuff with the intervention of the social media and all that? Can you imagine if these people would apostate 10 or 15 years ago before you'd have Facebook and YouTube and all that sort of thing? It would took months or even years for this apostasy to go around the world. But Satan synchronized it when the social media would think. So somebody hear me preach tonight, they get mad and a hornet. They make a YouTube video after church. It's up by midnight tonight or 1 o'clock. And then their disciples is already click, 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 click. You know why? It's the hour of darkness. It could not have been 20 years ago. It could not have been in 1983 when I first come to the message. This is their hour, but it's also our hour. Oh, glory. Oh, Brother Donnie, they're going to get the upper hand. We're going to do this. Don't you never think about that, friend. Our God called us to this message. Our God sent this prophet. Our God sent this gospel. It is our God's responsibility to take care of it. A message that man can destroy is a flimsy message. A message that a man can stop its influence is a flimsy message. But I'm talking about a God who ordained this truth. Now watch Jesus. When I was daily with you in the temple, You stretch forth no hands against me. But this is your hour. And the power of darkness. How sad. So the power of darkness has now linked up with priests, preachers. So their hour has arrived, and so has their power. And their power is from demons. Open our eyes, Lord. Now notice who Jesus is speaking to. And then he said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders. It wasn't cigarette suckers, drunks, liars, whoremongers. It was religious people. Notice in Job chapter 20 verse 5, Job says it this way, that the triumphing of the wicked is short and the joy of the hypocrite but for a moment. So make all the YouTube videos you want to. It won't last long. When YouTube is smoking and sunk with an earthquake, it won't be laughing too much. Praise the Lord. When the tidal waves shoot plumb back to Kentucky, we'll see who's laughing on YouTube then. Praise the Lord. Come on, children. Ain't there need nobody making no videos of the bombs from Russia blowing up the United States, because there won't be nobody to look at it. The fallout will eat them up. They will be cremated in a moment of time. Oh, my. Now, notice Jesus says, this is your hour and the power of darkness. Now, how could this arise? As if though Jesus allocated prophetically that it was a time that this could happen. It couldn't happen 5 days before. It couldn't happen a week later. This is your hour. Isn't it amazing that God will work under the law of contrast and allow such darkness and certain things that seemingly works against the program of God? And say, why would God allow that? If God is allowing it, there is a reason. And God will use that under contrast. How many knows that many times some of the greatest trials you've ever been through, when you come out on the other side, it made your testimony more powerful than it ever was. What if God would have given you a blessing instead of that trial? Would your testimony have been as great? I doubt it. We're probably more sorry and lazy than we are now. So what does God do? God will actually unleash and allow the power of darkness. But he, remember, he said, this is your hour. Oh, glory. This is not your week. This is not your month. This is not your decade. But they were given a span of time. Oh, let me remind the devil tonight. This is his time. But it ain't going to be for long, oh, Slewfoot. It ain't going to be for long, because we're fixing to come back on this earth and take over. I like the way the commentary Lightfoot says it. He says it this way, this is your hour and the power of darkness. The serpent himself is now come in Judas. And the seed of the serpent was that root that came with him, to whom was fatal to bruise the heel of the Messiah. And now was the hour for that wickedness. That prophecy that laid back there for thousands of years about the Messiah's heel had to be bruised. Somebody had to fulfill that. It couldn't have been done in the days of Moses. Couldn't have been done in the days of Jeremiah. But God actually worked and allowed that power of darkness to work under that thing and fulfill a prophetic utterance that God himself said thousands of years ago. God said, I'm going to have a tried people. I'm going to have a people that's going to come through tests and trials. And God may unloose or allow darkness to come your way. But remember, behind that hour of darkness, there is a blessing. And there is, oh glory, there is a promise of a loving Father. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll go with you all the way, even to the end of the world. Oh, hallelujah. Submit yourself, therefore, in the mighty hand of God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. So the hour and the power of darkness is now connected. But there's a missing link. We've got Rome, who has the ability to issue capital punishment. The Jews under Roman dominion could kill no man. You didn't know that. They could kill no man. The Jews
had to have authority from Rome. Now, if Rome agreed, all right, certain things about your law, okay, yeah, go ahead and do it. But when it come to this, they could not take his life. So we got Rome. We got the priest, temple leaders, rulers. But we need one more connection. We need an insider. A snake. A cunning serpent. You imagine them guys is praying constantly. If we could only get a message preacher. Priests ain't enough. Businessmen ain't enough. Housewives ain't enough. We need a preacher. An insider. Don't you get quiet on me now. Surely if I can stand up here and say this, you can sit there and squeak out an amen. Darkness needed an instrument. Now remember Jesus, they could all see him during the day. But where did Jesus go during the night? They needed someone to know, where does he sleep? Where does he go? Caiaphas, do you know? I don't know. Pilate, do you know? I don't know. We need somebody from within. Now, the final week of Jesus' life before the cross. Let's read here in Matthew 26, verse 6. The Lord spent this week, these nights in Bethany, which is east of Jerusalem on the south slopes of the mount. Bethpage was in one direction. Bethany was another direction. So Jesus has now moved into the city, into Jerusalem. And he must have a place to stay. So he's spending his nights in Bethany at a friend's house. A friend he'd raised from the dead. I don't mind telling you, it's nice to have a best friend who can raise you from the dead. If you don't believe me, ask Lazarus. My best friend has dead raising power. My best friend has cancer killing power. My best friend has the power to kill death and the nature of death. Now watch as this week unfolds. Matthew chapter 26, verse 6. When Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper. Now, a feast has been set now for the Lord Jesus. His apostles do not understand what this week is leading up to. Simon doesn't. More than likely, Lazarus doesn't. As far as we can tell, there was only one who knew outside of the Lord Jesus himself. One who knew. So Simon is giving a feast. And Matthew calls Simon, he refers to him as Simon the leper. But actually, if Simon would have still been a leper, there would have been nobody at his feast. So actually, what you're dealing with is a man who used to be a leper. And he's having a feast for Jesus. I want to be that kind of man, don't you? I was a leper in sin, but I'm going to have holy feasts for my Lord. Now, I want you to imagine who is sitting at this feast. We got a former leper, and we've got a former dead man. There's all kinds of people who are sitting around here. Glory to God, I feel like preaching a while. There's all kinds of people sitting around here who have experienced the supernatural power of God. And all of that light was not going to dispel the darkness. They had seen things that was beyond the shadow of a doubt. There was no cure for leprosy still to this day. There was no cure to raise a man from the dead. Absolute infallible facts. Did it stop them? No. Why? The darkness. How could you deny a man that's 4 days dead? His nose fell in, his body stinking. How could you deny a man who had leprosy and one of the first things start falling off would be his fingertips and then eat its way on up? And maybe a man who had no arms and all that sort of thing, his nose gone. And the Lord Jesus made him well and restored his fingers back, restored his joints back. And you're sitting there looking at that man. How could you not deny? How could you deny such a thing that this man was sent from God? You could if you were so draped in darkness. You could if you were so unveiled in darkness and so enveloped in that darkness alone. Light wouldn't even permeate it. I'm glad in one way I didn't live during this time. Because I imagine if I'd been invited to that feast, I'd have shouted the whole time. Peter and Emmett had to run me out. You say, why you say that? Because that's what I do now. On a read, the deacons don't get on me now. They're scared of me, I guess. Now watch. Verse 7. There came unto him a woman. Now Matthew doesn't give her name, but the other writers do. It was Mary. Not Mary Magdalene. But Mary, the sister of Lazarus. Now we're entering a turning point by which darkness will have its last instrument to complete its prophecy. There came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. Now, as it was Mary's custom, somehow or another, she was given this special insight. I don't know if I could call it special love. But she was given something that was even greater than her sister, Martha. Now, Martha was identified always with cooking, serving meals and cleaning up and washing dishes. And that needs to be done for sure. But Mary chose the better things. Now watch how that this unfolds now. The darkness, here we are at this great supper for Jesus. A former leper sitting there, a former dead man is sitting there. Other people no doubt sharing their testimonies and all this that has happened. But watch the darkness in this service. The darkness is fixing to make an entrance. In verse 8. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? Now, John actually tells us the source of this. St. John chapter 12, verse 4. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Now I want you to watch now. The darkness has now made the final connection needed for the message. But look how scary this is. When Judas mentions it, this darkness is so close, sitting right there at the table with them, that the rest of the apostles get underneath the influence of this darkness. Now it originates with Judas. Judas is the first one to say it. But they are so close to that darkness and they don't suspicion him. Now I want you to notice, next time you think you're just like Jesus, I want you to ask yourself this question. Jesus treated his enemies so much like his friends that nobody knew the difference. Now, if you and I would have been Jesus and known that Judas was a traitor all along, we would have told everybody. We couldn't have kept it to ourselves. Do you know why? Because we're not as much like Jesus as we think we are. But Judas was so much accepted by the Lord Jesus and thought trustworthy and so on. He never shirked him. He never treated him bad. Come on now, get quiet on me now. So the rest of the apostles had no reason to question him. So this spirit now gets on Judas. The darkness must permeate one from within. I've got to find out, where is he staying? So the disciple who first mentions this is Judas. Now, to us, of course, saying 300 pence doesn't really mean anything. It's actually 300 denarii, which is Roman currency at the time, which was a year's wages. A year's wages. But you consider she was acting on the pulsation of faith. What was that? You know, it's amazing that sinful motive will often hide under the mask of reverence of another virtue. I hate it when I say that. I absolutely hate it. When you see it in a deacon or a trustee or a preacher or whatever it is that's actually got an ulterior motive, but he hides behind, bless God, I'm the pastor, I'm a trustee, hallelujah, I'm a deacon, this, that, and the other, but yet their motive is something else. And they're trying to accomplish something that is totally selfish. Come on now, don't get quiet on me. So sinful motive will often hide under the mask of reverence. Watch this in verse 6. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. So a thief rebukes this closest one to Jesus. And the rest of the preachers join right in with him. Children, let me tell you why good people sometimes, good people that you and I love, friends, families, and so on, can get under bitterness or hatefulness or contrariness or whatever. You know why? The darkness is so close to us. Good people can get under gossip and things and go to rattle in their mouth. And then they think, Lord have mercy, what was I doing? I can't believe that I've done that. That's why we ought to forgive one another. And not hold grudges. When a brother or sister trespasses against us, don't hold a grudge against them. Forgive them and go on. The darkness, don't you understand? The darkness is pressing so close against us. This is how come you can get frustrated and aggravated. Oh God, I don't understand what in the world is going on. Don't you understand why? The darkness is pressing itself. It's sitting right there next to you at the table. They were sitting here at a testimony meeting and having church, as it were. And here this darkness has now entered into this man. And these preachers got under that same influence. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag. And bear what was put therein. The word bear means he took out or stole what was in the treasury. Luke says it this way, Luke 22:2. The chief priests and scribes saw how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas. The light is made flesh. Now the darkness is made flesh. I'm going to tell you why some of these folks are turning so bitter that's left this message. They have become demon possessed. Some of them will never come back. Their names have already been removed from the book of life in heaven. They will hate. They will annihilate. They would blow our brains out if possible. Why? Satan has entered them. Lord, children, God help us. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. Now, he wasn't of the 70. He wasn't of the multitude. He wasn't of the masses. The multitude, the 70, you keep narrowing it down. So this guy was deep on the inside. Dear Lord,
And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad. An answer to their prayers. A message, preacher. Now watch this. Let's revert back to this and we'll pick it up in the morning, Lord willing. So this evil, the darkness, has now entered into Judas. Son of perdition is made flesh. Son of perdition, son of God, sitting at the same table with Lazarus raised from the dead. Elect Peter, elect John. You've got all these gathered at the same table. Now when Jesus perceives their thoughts of what they're thinking against Mary, when Jesus understood this, he said unto them, he doesn't just address Judas, because now even the elect have gotten underneath this influence of darkness. Jesus said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. Look at this word that Jesus uses. Kalos, beautiful. Excellent, precious, beautiful to look at. Isn't this amazing? One person in the room knows what's fixing to happen. And she renders this beautiful work to the Lord Jesus. And the preachers look at it and they are indignant. They are so mad. This is repulsive to them. And what they consider repulsive, Jesus says, is beautiful. Amen. You know, I find it's the same way. Many people who do not have the capacity or the ability to love Jesus and render to Him maybe in a more consecrated way than they see others doing, many times they will become indignant toward that individual. Poor Mary. Somehow she knew. She knew. Peter didn't know. John didn't know. Bartholomew didn't know. Mary knew. You say, knew what? Let's stand. I want to know. Y'all not sure if you want to know because you don't know what I'm talking about knowing, do you? Believe me, it's good. You'll want to know. Praise God. Can you imagine, children, the darkness was now pressing their time. Now we're ticking down to just a few minutes, a few days. Because this is one of the last feasts that Jesus goes to. He's now pulled out, set apart. He's anointed for his burial. Within a few days, he's going to be killed. Oh, my. I wonder tonight, if the darkness is pressing against us, do we know? Do we know the lateness of the hour? Do we see what's happening before us prophetically? That these are the signs of the times. We've kept our eyes on the moon. We've looked at the stars. We've looked at the Pope. We looked at the Catholic Church, but I wonder if we've looked close enough at apostasy. Remember, this is the last thing within days. Judas must turn apostate before the crucifixion can happen. Now, if you know anything about the witnesses of this time, you know Judas was not just willing to tell them where Jesus was. But he was submitting himself to be a witness against Jesus Christ. So what he had preached, what he had stood for, he is now agreeing and coveting with the Jews, making a covenant with them. I will lead you to where he is, and I will stand as a witness against him. This is apostasy. Pilate couldn't do this. Caiaphas could not do this. Caiaphas could not turn apostate against Jesus. He never believed Jesus in the first place. Pilate couldn't turn apostate against Jesus. It had to be somebody from within.
That's the truth.
Praise God. I want a whole truth. I love you, children, with all my heart. But if every one of you turn away, I'm going on without you. I love my family that believes this truth. But if they turn away, I'll go on to heaven without them. I don't want to, but I will. I love my Jesus more than I do my daughters. I love my Jesus more than I did my mom and my daddy. I had to take that stand years and years ago. Many of you are just now experiencing. Many message people are just now experiencing that family type of thing. It's painful. Yes, it's painful. I dealt with it years ago myself. It's very heartbreaking. But if you do truth, you love him more than you love life itself. Praise be to God. If mama don't want to go, I'll go without her. If daddy don't want to go, I'll go without him. Is that the way you feel? Where are we, children? The very last week of history. Here we are, the last days of it. Now we're ticking down in the days as the table is now set. You imagine they're saying, my, this is wonderful. Oh, it's fixing to break loose. Oh, my, I know it is. We're fixing to have the greatest of all. Jerusalem's going to be shook. They had no clue. All hell was fixing to break loose. Because this was their hour. Who knows what God would allow this bride to go through before she leaves. We've wondered about the press. We've talked about it. We've printed quote books on it. Preachers have preached on it. But I wonder what lays before us. I don't know. To be honest with you, I don't want to think about it much. But I know my daddy well enough to know he'll never let us go through more than what we're able to bear. Whatever the hour of darkness will be allowed to do, or the power of darkness synced up with the hour of darkness to do against us as the bride. We saw a little taste of it a few months back, of what pressure can do. May we be faithful. May we be faithful. I stood there in China and preached the same gospel, knowing that if the police knocked on the door and come to the door, I could be arrested. Brother Biscoe was arrested, as you know, in another city. And they were looking for me. I'd never felt that feeling at Happy Valley. I never felt that feeling in the conventions I'd preached in different parts of the world. So I entered into a place that I felt really, really funny. And I'd get off the motel room on every floor. There was a guard sitting there watching you. Everybody that come to my room for meetings, they was watching every person that came. So some would come at 5, some at 5:15, some at 5:30, some at 6. In my mind, I'm sorry, I hope this don't offend you. But in my mind, I thought, I wonder how many folks at Happy Valley would come if they had to come secret. Wonder how many at Happy Valley would still attend if they come knowing they could be arrested. Something to think about, ain't it? Would you? Only you can answer that from your heart. Do you love this word enough to where you'd come tonight if there was guards and cops standing here and say, if you enter that door, we might or might not arrest you. Or would you stay home and stream? I imagine we have a whole lot more streamers than we do now. But somebody better show up for you cowards to stream. I plan on showing up. Anybody want to show up with me? Praise God. But remember, children, it won't be long. The hypocrite's time will be so short-lived. Judas' time was so short. He was only in that stream, in that place, for just a matter of minutes. So it makes me feel so sorry for these poor instruments of darkness. They're doing what they're doing. Many of them have been brought to the limelight, as we'd say. They've been given this fame for how long? And for what? For what? A few months? A few years? And perish in the flames of hell for hundreds, maybe thousands of years for what you've written on Facebook and what you've said about God's prophet. Burning in those flames, and that face of that prophet of God and your words come up before you day in and day out. You'll hear my voice screaming down in hell to you, repent. For a few minutes in the limelight, for a little bit, for people to know your name. Lord have mercy. And may I turn it around to you. What could we go through? What could we suffer in this life? If God saved you and never answered another prayer, God saved you and never healed you one time, God never done one more thing from you and let you live a dry desert life as a Christian, and you live that life for 40 years, and then you got to go into the gates of the city and have eternal life. You ain't got one right to complain. Praise be to God. If they are willing to do this for a few moments of glory and willing to go to hell for it, my goodness, what we ought to be willing to go to heaven for. Brother Jim, what we ought to be willing to go through, the reproach we ought to be willing to bear just to live in His presence. Praise God. Let's bow our heads together if you would. Oh, Jesus, my Father. I realize we're different today in the sense that the apostles were, because they were not born again. That darkness must have been so powerful, and Judas must have had such a personification of this evil and apparently a charisma about him as far as a man. And we know that he didn't start out as an unbeliever. He was a believer, a preacher, a gifted speaker. His gift is not inferior. His anointing was not inferior. And the disciples, we know that according to custom, even at the communion, Judas was giving the highest position sitting by you. So they thought Judas was the next in command. If people could only understand, sometimes you put a man up because he's actually in the safest place for you to watch him. You keep him squelched down, it'd be an Absalom. You knew what you were doing, but they didn't. Lord Jesus, I wonder when John wrote this years later, when he said all the disciples were moved to indignation, and Luke and them, I wonder how John must have felt. How could I have done that? I wonder how the rest of the apostles must have felt once you reiterated to them. They had moved over under the anointing of darkness. They had joined in with Judas momentarily. Lord, when we rebel, or when we're stubborn, or when we feel anger or hatred or something like that, contrary to the Spirit of God, help us to realize it's the darkness that's around us, Lord. Forgive us. When we go to gossiping about one another and running one another down and all that, help us to realize it's darkness. It's darkness pressing against us. Move us away. Correct us, Lord Jesus. Correct us the way you did at the table that night, Lord. Don't let me stay under darkness, Lord. Lord, if I err, if I do wrong, if I say wrong, if I have a bad attitude or something, Lord, don't let me stay underneath that darkness. Move me, Father. Speak to me. I want to do truth. And being a doer of truth will draw me to light, that my works will be made manifest. Help me, Lord. Grant it, dear God. How many would like to be remembered with me tonight? Just keep your heads bowed and raise your hand before God if you would. Lord Jesus, we approach you, Father. Now I pray for them. Not only for these present, but for those that are sitting at home and those that will stream the service or archive it later. May the presence of God come right there. Lord, if they need to pull off on the side of the road for just a few moments, they're streaming it on their phone or whatever more, that the presence of God can deal with their heart. Oh, Heavenly Father, may your light show us our wrongs. Lord God, forgive us if we get angry and upset when you have a minister to preach on us. Help us to not get angry at him, Lord. May we not be angry at the instrument. Lord, may we not express anger and temper, but may we hear the truth. Lord, and may we walk in that light. We want our deeds to be made manifest. Search me tonight, Lord, if there's anything in me that's evil, anything that's wrong, show me. I approach a great light, Lord God. Show me, Father. Oh, granny, Lord, I won't get mad at you. I won't rebel against you, Lord. Speak to me. If there's one person, Lord, I need to make anything right with. Tell me, Lord God. Father, we're looking for a great visitation this next week coming up. Wonderful meetings. Lord Jesus, may we as the local assembly, may we prepare ourselves, Father. May we create an atmosphere that we gather in here next Friday night, Lord. Heaven will come down among us. Grant it, Lord Jesus. May we lay aside the unfruitful works of darkness. May light pulsate through us, Lord Jesus. John must have felt the way I do, and these people here, whenever they realize they've been under the influence of darkness about something, an attitude or an opinion or whatever more, they've received a gossip against someone or whatever. Help us, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Shine on us, Lord. Let the day star arise. Shine on our hearts, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. I worship you tonight, Lord God. I worship you, Jesus. Let's just praise him now, children. Oh, rise and shine, for your light has come. The resurrection, and you are one. Oh, rise and shine. Day star is shining, you and him are one.
Glory!
Oh, little bride, arise and shine. Your light has come.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Your day star is shining. In this evening light, you are one. Oh, pride, arise and shine. Your light has come. Your husband is coming. You and him are.
You see it. You see it. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It shall be light in the evening time. Oh, arise and shine. Little pride, your light has come. You and the day star. Cause you're his. shine through you. Let's sing it together now. Arise and shine.
Jesus, remember when the hour of darkness progresses in Jesus, there in the garden, enters into this time, shall I say, Father, save me for this hour, but for this hour, I came to the earth. You think you was just saved so you could shout? You just saved so you could testify the blessings of God? I don't want to be saved for that. I don't want to be saved. I want to be somebody that can testify about God brings you through trials and tests, hardships. Amen. Shall we pray, God save us, God keep us from any trouble? Not me, friends. Do I want trouble? No, I hate it. I don't like it at all. But if God needed a preacher that stand in this last days, ridiculed, being made fun of and laughed at, named, scoffed at, and whatever, and he needed somebody, may I not be a coward. May I not be a shirk. God wants a lay person that'll stand and be identified. May you not be a shirker. May you stand right there with Jesus. Let's not do him the way Peter done him. Let's not do him the way John done him, Brother David. Let's not leave him there in the garden by himself. Let's stand with him in this hour of darkness. Let's stand with the revealed word. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. worship you, Lord. Let's just close our eyes for a moment now. Raise our hands in the presence of the King. You imagine us Gentiles before the middle wall of partition was taken down. There was a court in the temple called the Court of the Gentiles. We were allowed as Gentiles to stand only on the outside. No sacrifice could be made for us. No atonement for our sins. The high priest did not have a stone with our name written on it. We were Gentiles, dogs. But today, through the work of the cross of the Lord Jesus, we don't stand on the outside. We stand in the holiest of holies. To think of it, that same living God that come underneath that tent and come into the temple of Solomon. Oh my. It's the same God, if you've got the Holy Ghost, that lives in your heart tonight. Veiled not behind big thick curtains, but veiled behind skin. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. May it never become old to us, Lord. May we never stop rejoicing over the miracle of the new birth. Lord God, as we looked at it here Wednesday night, when that image of God left Adam instantaneously, it was there and the next moment it was gone. It comes back the same way by the new birth. We're lost. We're in darkness. We're wretched. But when the Holy Ghost accepts us, in a moment of time, that nature is killed and we become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Brother, I'm talking about a man from Georgia. He said that man met him on the parking lot and he said he'd started asking him about the things. He said he wasn't a believer, wasn't a Christian. He said he asked him about the angel of the Lord, said he'd heard about it. He said, I've been noticing these prophecies and I've been hearing these things. He said, I'm coming to church tomorrow for my first time. He said, but I want to tell you, sir, I'm lost as lost can be. He said, I'm lost like a coin in a sand pile. And the prophet told him, but you don't have to remain that way. And he said, right there in that parking lot, he said, you want me to pray with you? He said, yes, sir, I'm not ashamed. He said, he knelt down right there in the shopping center parking lot. People passing by. Brother Branham said he walked up a sinner. And he walked away a son of God. Glory! He walked up dead and walked away alive. Hallelujah, Lord! That's the way we were, Jesus. Oh, what Adam lost, we regained. But help us to realize it could only be regained through this hour of darkness fulfilling its mission. What if the press from within us is what will force us into that desperation? Right beyond the veil waits my theophany. And the press will force me to study and press me to pray and all that like never before. And it'll force me right out of this body into a change. Praise God. Then I say, according to your divine providence, let the hour of darkness do as it's supposed to do. Great Lord. Praise be to God. Oh, I love you tonight, Jesus. I love you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. When I was a little bitty boy and I got saved, I started writing songs way back. I thought as a little boy, so I wrote songs as a little boy. And I wrote one that said this, Jesus is my bulldozer. He can move my mountains. I can put my trust in Him. I can overcome Satan with what the Lord has given. I can put my trust in Him. Amen. Jesus is my bulldozer. He can move my mountains. I can put my trust in Him. Hallelujah. Oh, I can overcome Satan with what He's given. I can put my trust Jesus. God bless you. Let's just sing one more little chorus together in moments like these. Let's just sing a little bit before we go. Oh, praise God. In moments like these, I sing out a song. What kind of song is it? A love song to Jesus. Let's just make love to Him now. In moments like these, I sing out. Sing it to Him now. I sing out a song to Jesus. Tell Him now, children. Special times like this. Sing out a love song to Him. What are you going to sing to Him? Oh, hallelujah. I love You, Lord. Tell Him now. Sing out a love. Yes. Everybody, once again, with your hands raised, singing out. Just take Him in your arms as it was. Pull Him up next to you and love on Him. I love You, Lord. Singing out. Bless you, saints. Service in the morning. Go in the fear of God. In moments like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to my Jesus.